Well, as the choir and orchestra is finding their place, you find yours in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in a moment, we'll begin reading in verse 16. Well, probably in your mailbox, you received one of these relaunch brochures this week. I know I got one. I looked at it, and then I went through all my mail as I went out to get it. And I thought, well, if everybody's mail was delivered like mine, that my congregation is going to think, man, he's double teaming us. I got this, and I got my giving envelopes at the same time, all right? And I thought, well, that's just a prophetic word, amen. That's what that's all about. So, hey, you got your relaunch brochure, and you've been praying about that. It's Stewardship Month here at Olive during the month of November as we're moving toward our Commitment Sunday on December 7th. And on that December 7 morning, as we come together, there'll be boxes down here at the front and up in the balcony. And at the conclusion of my teaching time, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat with your family and come and place your commitment card. It'll be in a white envelope. It'll be sealed, and you'll just put that in there. You brought your offering that day. You'll put your offering in there. If there's a guest around you, a guest can come and place their guest registration card. And the reason we want you to come to the altar is we'd just like you to come and just take a moment, you and your family, and just for a second or two, put that and say, Lord, we make our commitment unto you. Make that an act of worship in an active way. And we'll do that on that morning. Now, some people are helping us and in our early time, and this afternoon at 6 o'clock, we have an early commitment dinner, and that will take place over in the Rock. Now, we've had people sign up, and we had a good number, and so I said, I'm going to try to gather up 30 more families to join us, about 60 more people. And I've been talking to some folks throughout. And if you forgot to get your sign up in or whatever, I made a place for you tonight, okay? And so if you can join us at 6 o'clock, I just been handpicking about 30. I just been asking people all morning, hey, you coming tonight? Well, I thought you had to sign up. I've got pull. You can come with me, all right? So I had them add some tables, and because I just wanted you to feel free to come. Now, we will not have a worship service in here tonight, okay? So no evening worship, but everything goes on in the ROC at 6 o'clock. Wonderful dinner, and it is a time when we is early commitment time. We're going to talk about money at dinner tonight. It's free to eat on the front end, all right? Amen. So, and then for all my seniors, and many of you are in this service today, tomorrow is Legacy Luncheon at 12 o'clock, and you don't have to sign up for that. All of our seniors come, and we will do that tomorrow. It's going to be kind of nasty tonight, and some of you don't like to drive after dark and get out, and you can come tonight, but we've got a luncheon planned at noon tomorrow, and what we do tonight, we're going to do tomorrow, and we'll do that at 12 o'clock. So all of you seniors, no sign-up needed for that. We're looking for you to come, several hundred of you, for our Legacy Luncheon, which will be tomorrow at noon. And we're moving toward that December 7 time with the relaunch campaign, getting ready to build two new structures here on the campus. One is a middle school structure that'll be right out here, and then a new fellowship hall that'll be back this way. And we've got three goals we've set: 7.5 million, 10 million, and 13 million. If we get all the way to 13, we'll build both those buildings and pay that last $1 million down on everything we own here. We have a little debt, and we can roll that into that, and we can do it all. But we'll build one building or two buildings or pay it all or one and a half, and we'll figure all that out. And but if we all do what we're supposed to do and get to that number, it'll be a glorious good day. One of our deacons came to me this morning, said, Pastor, when David took the ark into Jerusalem and the people gave, then he danced before the Lord. If we hit 13 million, will you dance before the Lord? I said, I will not dance like David danced, if you've ever read that text, all right? So I'll be one happy camper if we just obey the Lord. So you do what God directs you to do. As Liz and I, we went to a commitment deal with our deacons the other night, and my wife raised our commitment $20,000 when we walked out of the building. She said, I can do this right here that I hadn't even thought about. After hearing that, we can do this that we hadn't even thought about. I said, never entered my mind. She said, it won't even cost us anything to do that, and we can go from where we were and add 20 grand to our commitment. I said, amen. And then I told her not to come to dinner tonight. All right, so Amen. No, she's going to be there, and I don't know. I had a deacon this morning that came, and he said, Pastor, we turned in our deacon card the other day and said, my wife and I got, after you had us pray, God healed my wife 5 years ago, and said, I got home, and my wife looked at me and said, I don't know what we've, but you've got to raise that number, $5,000. I'm just telling you, God's moved, and we ought to just be at least that much more grateful for what God's done. Well, you see, when you pray and just obey God, it's a marvelous thing what God begins to do. And you don't give by what you think you can afford, you give by what God reveals to you. And we ought to be living like this all the time and be generous people. That's what 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are all about, that I've been preaching through, and we come today to this message, but thanks be to God. We're preaching about gratitude as we move toward Thanksgiving and helping us out of a heart of gratitude to be giving people. Sir John Templeton was one of the greatest gatherers of wealth the world has ever known. He died in 2008. He was knighted in England. If you've ever invested in the Templeton funds, then you know this man's background. A phenomenal entrepreneur and a phenomenal philanthropist, as he gave and taught us about generosity. Late in his life, he was interviewed. I was reading a book this week that had the interview with Sir John Templeton in it, and he was asked this question. John, what is the secret to wealth? To which he said, gratitude. When you are grateful, there's no fear. And when you are grateful, there's no anger. It's amazing what gratitude does, what thanksgiving does. And when you gather together with your family on Thursday, and it's just a time when we just say, don't worry about, just be grateful. People that we might have been angry with before, it just melts away because we're grateful. That kind of spirit is the Jesus spirit within us. What's the secret to wealth? It's gratitude. Fear and anger melt away, said Sir John Templeton, when gratitude flows through your heart. Paul spoke of that in 2 Corinthians 8, beginning in verse 16. The Bible says, but thanks be to God. There's our text for the morning. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness, underline that word earnest, I'm going to talk about it, on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very, there's that word again, earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him. Now, Titus is coming. And then he said, we've sent along with him the brother, somebody else, whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he, that is unnamed friend, has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of God himself and to show our readiness, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them, that is with Titus and this first person, there's a third person named here. We have sent with them our brother, a third person, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things. But now even more diligent because of his, that is the third brother, his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among us. And as for our brethren, the other two, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them, Titus and these other two, the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. They're taking an offering. That's what chapters 8 and 9 are all about. They're raising money for ministry and for the relief of the poor in Jerusalem. And they have taken a great offering. It is a large offering. It is a God-sized offering. And they are going to move it from Corinth to take it down to Jerusalem. And to send the offering, he puts together a committee of three.
Titus, the first brother, and then the second brother. Now, they are unnamed in this text. Many writers believe it was Titus, Luke, and Apollos, but we don't know that. But let's give them a name today. Let's say that it was Titus, for we know that, and let's say it was Dr. Luke, and let's say it was Apollos. We'll just give them names because historians guess that that may have been who these two brothers were that went with Titus. And Paul is saying in verse 16, but thanks be to God. Now, I'm grateful today for a lot of things. I'm grateful that God called me to be a preacher. I'm grateful that He saved me. I'm grateful that I am healthy today. I'm grateful for employment at this place. Some people get their spiritual nose bent out of joint sometimes when I say I'm grateful for my job. And they say, well, preacher, you don't have a job. You have a calling. Well, I do, but I get a paycheck. So it's just, you know, work with me here. I do have a place where I'm employed and responsible for and responsible unto. And our staff is that. Well, I'm grateful today that you would let me be here and that you would employ me to do what God called me to do many years ago. But out of all gratitude in this text, what I think Paul is grateful for and what I want to laser focus in for a few moments today and help you is to be grateful for your relationships today. I want you to be thankful for people today. That's what I think. I think Paul is grateful for Titus, person one, person two. We're going to call him Luke and Apollos. He's grateful for Titus, for Luke, and Apollos, and all that they bring to his ministry. I'm grateful today. And so in my prayer time this morning, I sent just a text or two to people that are out of town from here and said, I'm preaching today on gratefulness for people, and I want you to know I'm grateful for you. You told anybody you're grateful lately? Tell anybody you love them? Saturday morning, I went down to the hospice care and visited with Jay Jeffcoat. Then this morning, as I said, and those three deacons, we went down and laid our hands on him and prayed over he and Debbie this morning in our deacon time. One of the best deacon prayer times I've ever been a part of. When I left yesterday, I looked at Jay and I said, Coach, I love you. And he said these words to me. He said, Pastor, in the last 2 months, I have had more people tell me with sincerity that they love me than I've ever had in all my life. And boy, that gripped my heart. You know, I say that from time to time. I say, hey, Brother David, good to see you. Love you, man. You know, and we can just walk on by, you know. And we do, but there's something about taking the hand of a man that doctors have said, if God doesn't intervene, you'll go to the other side quickly. It's like you're telling a dying man, I love you. And as Jay said, there's just deep sincerity in those I love yous I've heard the last 2 months. It changed me today. It pulled my heart. And it made me get out my phone today and send two or three texts this morning early to say, thank you for being my friend. I am grateful for you. What kind of people, well, do we find Paul being grateful for? That's what I want to talk about for a few minutes today. Thanks be to God for people. Just say that word to me. Thanks be to God for what? People. Just for people. You know, that's important stuff, these relationships that we have. What kind of people do we find Paul being grateful for? Five kinds of people in this text I want to show you, and you got to listen in a hurry because it's a long way from one to five when this guy is doing the preaching, all right? Number one, but thanks be to God for earnest people, not people named Ernest, but for earnest people. He says about Titus that he has this earnestness on the behalf of the heart of Titus and that he himself is very earnest. The word earnest is the Greek word spouda, S-P-O-U-D-A, spouda. That word earnest, it can mean diligent, prompt, energetic, labor-filled, with speed. An earnest person is a one that gets after it, that works hard, and they don't dilly-dally around about it.
I was walking just a few days ago, and there was a family moving several things, and the daddy was just burdened. He was carrying all this stuff, and it was a game day setting, and they were trying to pull all their stuff down under a big tent, and his teenage boy, I'm going to size him up at about 15 or 16, and he's got his girlfriend with him, and he's standing there like this. He's like watching his daddy move all that stuff. And his father was sweating profusely. He walked up to his son. Now, this is a family outing for a fun day. He said, "Would you get your hands out of your pockets and do something?" Well, in the biblical sense, he was saying, "Would you please be earnest? Get your hands out of your pockets and do something." Amen. Well, I want to say to Olive Baptist Church, I'm grateful for all the people that get their hands out of their pockets and they do something. Can I get a witness? Amen. Yes, sir. Diligent people. It don't mean they do big things. It doesn't mean that it's all, but they are in a hurry. They're with haste. They do it with speed and they do it with diligence. They don't just sit around. These are earnest. I want to introduce you to an earnest individual this morning. She's my dear friend. Her name's Evelyn Widener, and she's coming here right now, walking down to the front. And I've asked her to let me interview her quickly today and share with us just a couple of things. Sweet Evelyn has been at Olive for a long, long time. How many of you, she's done the wedding and reception, either your family or, you know, just hands everywhere. She and Sweet Don been our friends forever, and still working down in our food service delivery and all she does. Evelyn, how are you doing today?
Great.
Good.
Great.
Now, tell me when you got married here at Olive.
1958.
And which building was it?
It was in Passmore Hall.
In Passmore Hall in 58. That had to be like
way.
Yeah.
54 years ago.
Yeah. 54? Mm-hmm. Okay. And it wasn't Passmore Hall. Mm-hmm. No. Where was it?
No, Passmore. It's Roosevelt.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. All right. We're just making sure we got all that straight. All right. I knew it wasn't because.
Roosevelt.
Yeah. Brother Jerry wasn't even alive in 1954. All right.
Yeah.
He was?
He's my age.
Oh, okay. No, man. Now, we're going to hide the microphone if you're going to do that.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
When we got ready to build, when you were, you told me a story. When you were a high schooler, mm-hmm. what building was it we were building?
Russo Hall.
All right. We're getting ready to build Russo Hall. Mm-hmm. And you were just, and what did you do in order to help give to that building?
Well, my father worked with E.I. DuPont. He helped build Monsanto. And they were here, and I came, of course, and I started the PJC. And they had to be transferred back to North Carolina, so I thought, well, I'm not going back because I'm in school, so I got a job at W.W. Woolworths. And lots of young people doesn't know what that is, but you find it out.
Yeah, I shared that with Alan. He's up there running the sound, and I said, Alan, do you know what Woolworth is? He said, it must have something to do with sheep. He didn't know what that was. But. So he didn't know what the five and dime was, you know, but you worked at Woolworth.
Yes, and I wanted to be a part of that, and I thought, I don't have any money to give. So I thought, well, there's a loans place down the street. I'll just go down there and borrow some money. So I went down and to see if I could borrow some money and walked in there, and there was a friend, and I told him what I wanted the money for, and he said, oh, yeah, we will do that. So I borrowed money to give to the building of Passmore Hall.
When you were a student?
When I was a student.
Do you remember how much you borrowed?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me?
$4,000.
She borrowed $4,000. Stan Lewis ran an equivalency for me this week, and he said in 2014 that would be
$36,000.
$36,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're going to do the same thing this time that you did. She said God's still working on her about her gift. Wow, what an earnest gift that was. And that's been the heart. See, this is the bedrock of what Olive's been all these years. And Don Widener sat right back there for 106 years. He sat right back yonder and was a faithful deacon and giver and daddy and boy, he'd love to watch that little girl grow up, wouldn't he?
Oh, he would. Yeah. And that's why I'm so excited to know that my little Gabby will have a place to church.
Well, I want to thank you, Miss Evelyn, for being my friend and for sharing your heart today. I know that's not the easiest thing you do. You'd rather be in the background. I know that. Mm-hmm. But thanks for coming and sharing with us and for being an earnest member. I am thankful for you today.
Thank you.
Amen.
I am grateful for you. God bless you.
Bless you. Thank you. I love you too. Earnest people. Earnest people. There's a second person I'm grateful for out of this text today, not only for earnest people, but thanks be to God, Paul says, for encouraging people. Look at it in verse 16. Thanks be to God for the earnestness of Titus. Verse 16, his earnestness. Look down in verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and my fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches of glory to Christ. Titus, a partner, a fellow worker. This is somebody that comes alongside of you and encourages you and builds you up and helps you. You know, in your life, you have discouragers and you have encouragers. Discouragers take courage out of you. Encouragers put courage in you. You know those discouragers. Oh, Pastor. You know, it might be a good thought, but we can't do that. That's discouragement. So, well, that's just reality. People that just take it out of you. They're the vampire friends. They suck life out. Some football coaches on football teams call them energy vampires, where they take the life out of a team. And then there are those that put life in. Amen? Aren't you grateful for encouragers? They'll send you a little note. They'll pat you on the back. They'll say, man, I couldn't do that. I'm glad you're the one doing that. That's the dumbest thing I ever thought, but go get them. They put courage in you, and they build you up. I came to be your pastor in 1990, and a few years after that, Dr. Passmore came back to be a part, and I didn't know Brother Jerry all that well. I have not had anybody in the last 5 years to encourage me more than Jerry Passmore's encouraged me. Matter of fact, he made a little video that I want to show you. It's about 2 minutes long, just about this giving program. You know, it's easy for the former pastor just to sit on the sideline. Somebody asked me, said, whenever you do retire, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to stay in Pensacola and I'm going to aggravate some young preacher. I said, no, sir, I'm going to be the greatest friend that young preachers have ever had. I'm going to be their encourager. I'm going to try to be a soul winner. About 10 years from now, whenever that comes. But I'll tell you, Brother Jerry's done that for me. He's put his arm around me. And he's spoken a lot of encouraging words to me. And I want you to hear him speak an encouraging word to his church today. Let's run that video for me.
I'm Jerry Passmore. I've been a member of the body since 1972. I served for 70 years as pastor. All of us, of course, want to be a part of this effort. Now, some of us are saying, I am attempting to raise money for a recreation outreach that our senior adults were the hardest people to get along, simply because they didn't just feel like that was going to be for them. But I would say to the senior adults, We need to get involved in this as well. My former wife and his father and I gave literally to all of our relatives. Now my presence are going to give literally. We might not be here to show all that long, but we have a commitment to build a kingdom of God. And I'd like to challenge you guys to get on board and make a contribution and understand that it's for the glory of God and the advancement of this kingdom. And we might be senior, we might be elderly, but we still have a ministry that we can give to the Lord.
Amen. We still have a ministry, and we give it unto the Lord. I preached at the Florida Baptist Convention just a few days ago, and Jerry and his sweet wife were there, and when I finished, I went out and got a drink of water and talked to some folks, and when I came back in, I slid down in the seat right next to our pastor emeritus, and he leaned over me, he said, "Preacher, you did too good." I said, "What?" He said, "You know that they're going to aggravate you now more than ever to come take Dr. John's job." And said, "You just," he said, "I prayed for you about halfway through. You did too good." And of course, that was his way of his backhanded compliment and just saying, "Well done, Pastor. I was proud of you today." Many of you encourage me, and Brother Jerry is one of those right at the front of the line, putting courage in his pastor. I'm grateful to God for Brother Jerry and for what he's helped me to do and what he continues to encourage me to do. Thanks be to God for earnest people, for encouraging people. Thirdly, thank God for evangelistic people. Look in verse 18. He said that we sent Titus first, and then they sent this other guy. We think it's Luke, but we don't know. And he said, "We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches." And not only this, but he's been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work that is taking the money, which is being administered, there's the administration side, by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness. And he also takes precautions so that it does not discredit us. Luke is the evangelistic person. Aren't you grateful for people who share the gospel? He said he has a fame in the gospel. You're famous for something. You may be famous for the cakes you make, amen? You may be famous for a multitude of things. But this man is famous for the gospel, amen? An evangelistic person. Well, I'm grateful for those that have a hot heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, in my own life, I had two wonderful occasions with people that are on their deathbed. And I have people from time to time, I say, "Preacher, do you believe somebody on their deathbed can get saved?" I really do. There's a gentleman who was up at Sacred Heart Hospital. And about a year ago, one of our young deacons said, "Pastor, I wish you'd call this man," and I did. He was fighting cancer, went away, and now he's had a reoccurrence. And unless God intervenes, he may not live long. And one of our other young men was there to see him just last week, and he called me. He said, "Pastor, would you go with me to visit and call the man's name?" And I said, "I would." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, he's gotten a very bad report, and I was visiting with him a few days ago, and he asked me if I could get you to come talk to him." I said, "I'll be there." So we made our appointment. I walked in that room Monday night at Sacred Heart Hospital. There were about eight people lining around the bed, and we had small talk for a moment. And so finally I gathered my courage and I said, "To those of you that are in this room, I want to ask a favor. This gentleman has asked that I could come and speak with him. Would you mind giving us some time alone?" Well, I'm here to tell you, it was like rats getting off a sinking ship. I mean, they hit that door like like the Lord himself had told them to get out of that room. I mean, they would like, you know, and I thought, well, I mean, you don't have to hurry. I mean, so I pulled up a chair and I sat down next to this gentleman, took his hand, and just walked through the gospel. And I said, is that what you want to do? And he said, Pastor, I just want to make sure. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And we shared how he could do that. And I said, I'm going to pray for you now. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to save you. This is his word. He said, you know, preacher, I'm not good at that. I said, friend, you don't have to be good. You just have to be real. You don't have to know what to say. You just got to be real. And I'd never heard a lost man pray these words. He tried to pray, and if he was going to pray in public, you would have said he was not real good at it. He probably hadn't done a lot of it. You know, if you practice, you get better praying. He took my hand, and in his prayer, he said, Lord, when I die, I want to see Jesus. Save me. Forgive my sin. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The same man that wrote 2 Corinthians 8 wrote 1 Corinthians 15. And in the first six verses, he said, this is the gospel. In that Jesus came and lived and died and he rose again. This is the gospel. Jesus died for you. And if you will call on his name, he'd save you today. I don't know who you are in this room. I don't know why you're here. But if you're here and you don't know that you know, I'm telling you, you ought to walk down this aisle today and you ought to pray a prayer and you ought to say, Lord, save me because I want to see Jesus when I die. Because I'm here to tell you, friend, if you don't see Jesus when you die, you're going to run into somebody you really don't want to meet in the next life. I had two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door yesterday. I had on an old ragged shirt and a ball cap. They said, do you go to church anywhere? I said, I do. They said, my name's such, what's your? I said, my name's Ted. Yeah. Shook their hand. She had a little pamphlet about the devil. She said, do you know who the devil is? I said, oh yes, ma'am, I talked to him this morning. She said, well, you know what he does? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I do. I'm well acquainted. She said, what do you believe about the devil? I said, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, Adam sinned, he sinned, we all sinned. Adam fell, we all fell. It's called the total depravity of man. Our heart's dark, and without Jesus, we're lost, and we're going to hell to be with the devil. And that's what's going to happen if a man doesn't pray and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus who lived and died and rose again. And if you don't give your heart to Christ, you're going to be lost. And and they looked at me and said, now which church you go to? I said, I go to Olive right up here. And she said, I hear that's a pretty big church. I said, it's pretty good size. She said, I meet a lot of people that go up there. I said, well, there's a lot of folks that go to that church. And I said, I go sometimes and I like to be. Let me tell you, friend, the gospel is not about which church you're a member of. The gospel is about, do you know the Lord? And I love evangelistic people. And I thank God. I mean, those two ladies, they don't believe what I believe, but I wish that I had some folks that had the earnestness that they had to go knock on door. Speak to folks. Thank God for evangelistic people. That man called on. And then this week, Fred Witte, he's not here today. Fred's wife, Mary, on our staff, Fred is, and Mary, who works across the street over here at the Ferry Pass School, has a brother in Charleston, West Virginia, who's dying. And they said, we're going there, and Pastor, pray for us. I said, well, Brother Fred, I've been to West Virginia the last 4 years to preach, and I got a good friend there. Would you mind if somebody went by? He said, it would be a good thing if somebody just made a visit. I had Beth call Matt Shamlin. Matt Shamlin went by and led that man to Christ on Friday afternoon in his bed in a hospital.
I called Fred back. I said, well, they went and made a pastoral visit, turned into evangelistic visit, and they led him to faith in Christ. Mary got on the phone and gave him, I mean, she went through the Apostles' Creed with that guy to make sure he's saved. I mean, she walked off, did you do this and this and this and this? And I said, Mary, you're going to unsave him before you ever get up there to talk to him. Oh, she was thrilled. Can a man on his deathbed, I'm telling you, if you believe, you can be saved. Thank God for evangelistic people that speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for earnest people. I'm grateful today for encouraging people, for evangelistic people. Number four, I'm grateful for ethical people. Thanks be to God for ethical people. In verse 22, we find the third man, maybe this is Apollos. We've sent him with our brother whom we have often tested. We found him diligent in many things. And he talks about the administration of the gift. Now watch this. A church like Olive, when we take our offering, if our offerings are not taken care of, if you don't have two people to sign every check, we never count money without more than two people in the room, the pastor doesn't handle money. When you hand it to me, I give it to somebody else, and I have to be trustworthy because there are times that you want to give it to me and share it, but I quickly hand that over. When some of you in relaunch will give stock, I'm going to do a little of that myself. I've got one stock, it's gone nuts, and I'm going to give it away before it goes in the tank, and I'm going to do that, and that's going to be part of my gift, and we are set up to receive that, and as soon as Dan gets that in our brokerage account, we sell that. We don't play around with it. We sell it. What I'm telling you is a church has to be accountable for its money and has to have ethical procedures, and I'm grateful to God for our accounting committee, for Dan Beard, for Stan Lewis, for our deacons that handle our money when they take it up right here. You see, you've got to have people that are trustworthy. Trustworthy. Amen. You don't take a man that just got out of jail for armed robbery and put him on the accounting committee. You disciple him, you help him. No more than you take somebody that has abused children and let them work in the children's building. You don't put them in that kind of procedure, that kind of environment, I mean. You've got to have procedures in place. You got to have a finance committee that helps. It works with the staff and do all those things. Thank God for this man. They sent these three people, Titus, number one, number two, maybe Luke and Apollos, and these three guys carried the money. See, there wasn't any direct deposit from Corinth to Jerusalem. You didn't just hit a button and it go down. You had to take that, ride it on a mule or a donkey or a wagon or go on a ship or something to get across. And you gave, and these people were, thank God for trustworthy, I'm grateful to God for those kind of people that are around me. And on December 7th, when you walk forward, and you place your offering in this basket and up in the balcony, and we'll have those stations where we just put that there. Then some of our people will come and they will tally that. And they can, I won't do that. We've got a team that will do that. They'll count that up and we'll see where we've come to in our commitment time and our pledge time together. I want to encourage you, man, be praying. Be praying about what God would have you do. If you didn't sign up to come tonight and you'd like to come, I want you to come tonight. I'll get you in there, all right? We need to fill up those extra tables. I put it to back. That'd be a good thing. You come and just hear and be up front and be out on the end, the leading edge. We started with just 20 people. In our first little gathering, we had 20 people, and they've given us an indication, and we took those, well, 21 people, because we had one other come in. 21 people already committed over $1 million to relaunch campaign. That encouraged me. We add to that another 300, and then another 300, and all of us, everybody do something. And when we gather it together, we'll do it in an ethical way. And people will handle your cash, and they will do it properly. Well, we've had issues around here. Several years ago, we had somebody that was stealing part of the offering. We don't know how it happened, but we found some envelopes up in the ceiling tile. Somebody got into the offering and they took all the cash out and they threw the checks up in the ceiling tile. But now, be very careful. There are cameras all over this place now. Okay? And
We'll know who you are. Now, a man would rob God. My Lord. What would he do to you? Thank God for people that are ethical, like Titus, Paulus, Luke. There's one other person I'm grateful for today. Not only, I'm grateful for these earnest people, encouraging people, evangelistic people, ethical people. But thanks be to God for exalting people. People that honor the name of the Lord. In verse 19, it talks about we're doing this for the glory of the Lord. In verse 21, for we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. You should be one, not exalt yourself, but exalting the Lord, giving praise. How do we do that? Let me just give you four ways to exalt the Lord. Number one, with worship and praise. In Psalm 50, in verse 23, you give glory to God. By consistent fruit bearing, in John 15, 8, you give glory unto the Lord. By spiritual unity, in Romans 15 and verse 6, you give glory unto the Lord. By good works, according to Matthew 5 and verse 16, and that would include not only what you do, but what you give, by good works you glorify the Lord. You exalt him. Do that is honorable to God, and that gives glory unto the Father. You're glorifying something today. And if you're glorifying something that you will not give unto the Lord, you've just made an idol out of whatever it is you're glorifying. You got to bring it all unto the Father. So thankful. Thanks be to God. I'm coming tonight to dinner. I want you to come. 6 o'clock. If you can come, you hadn't signed up, be a part of that. Would you just shake my hand sometime today? I'm going to be out in the foyer there. You shake my hand after we get done. So I'm coming, Pastor. Good. Just let me know. I'm coming to lunch tomorrow. And then after lunch, I'm going to grab a suitcase. I'm getting in my car. I'm going to drive to Pisgah, Alabama. Late tomorrow night, I'm going to get in. And then Tuesday, I'm going to have Thanksgiving number one. And my mother is going to make a German chocolate cake and cook a big something. And I'm the only one going. I'm an only child, and I'm going to just be the three of us like it always was on holidays. Big family gathering. Mom, Dad, and the red-headed stepchild. My daddy asked me to come. He said, I want you to come because I want to talk about my funeral. So I'm taking a notebook, and we're going to plan a funeral. That'll be a hard day for me. See, I've been blessed. I don't know a thing about child abuse or not getting what you need. I've been loved greatly. So I'm going to go say to the people that I'm grateful for, I'm going to try to tell them with J. Jeff Coates sincerity, amen. And you got some folks you need to go say that to. This Thanksgiving would be oh so complete if you'd find somebody with that kind of sincerity and say, I love you. Amen. Have a grateful heart. As John Templeton said, it's the secret to wealth. And it causes fear and anger to melt away. John's going to start singing. And when John sings, I want you in that balcony. Somebody, you're here lost today. I want you to come pray that prayer with me and call on the name of the Lord. You're here and ought to be a part of Olive. Boy, wasn't it great to see that young couple get baptized, about to get married today. Wasn't that a good thing? Amen. Maybe you're here and you've never joined a church. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never stepped out. And today's your day. I want you to step out. I want you to come. Just come desiring to honor the Lord. We're on our feet all over this room. We're standing. We're starting to sing. God's calling. You come. You're coming. You're coming. Just now. That's it. Amen. Out of that balcony. Take you a minute. Come on.